This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits, one that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com, that's Organifi.com, and type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hi, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Has trying to stick to a diet left you frustrated and unable to lose weight? Well, new research shows taking a 2-week break from your diet, that's right, 14 cheat days, and then going back on your diet achieves 50% more weight loss than those following a strict diet. Also, Kim and I will cover the latest research on artificial sweeteners and how they are now linked to an increased risk of diabetes. And for you worry warts out there, new research published in the Journal of Psychophysiology shows that journaling can reduce stress, anxiety, and improve your immune system. Kim and I chew on these topics and more, and it all starts now.
It's time for Chew On This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Bar Nguyen.
Our first headline was all over the news last week. Research published by the International Journal of Obesity revealed that the best way to lose weight and keep it off is to take a 2-week break from dieting. In this 4-month study, they compared obese people that cut calories and followed a restricted diet to people that went on the same diet for only 2 weeks and then took a 2-week break. After analyzing the data, they found that the group that took breaks lost 50% more weight than those who didn't. Also, those that deviated from the plan shed the most weight, meaning those that weren't as strict during the 2 weeks of actual dieting. Kim, this study goes right along with what we seem to be saying on every show now, everything in moderation. What's your opinion on getting beyond the all-or-nothing diet plans?
You know, and I know that you and I kind of, you know, agree with this, but the whole dieting thing, you know, I'm not a big fan of saying, okay, you know, this week I'm starting on this diet. And because I have friends that do this, like, every month there's something new. But
right.
I think it's just, you know, you have to kind of look at it like it's a lifestyle change. If you find yourself in this situation of your, you know, your health or your weight, it's about saying, okay, now every day I need to be mindful. It doesn't mean, you know, I have to really, like, restrict myself, but just think of it as a whole lifestyle overhaul. So I was amazed at this study, though. I mean, I don't know if it would be good for everyone, you know, kind of getting that momentum and then stopping. But, the numbers, 50% more weight loss, that's amazing.
Yeah, and here's the interesting part. They actually followed up 6 months later and discovered both groups did regain weight, as you'd think, because they're off their diet now. However, those that took the 2 weeks off were about 18 pounds lighter than those who followed the diet continuously. So they say that long-term results were also better for those, you know, doing the intermittent dieting. So, you know, as you and I said before, Kim, it's, you know, you're restricting calories and those calorie diets we've covered, and now this ketosis starvation diet. While deprivation does cause weight loss, they can also put your body into a famine mode. And this mechanism is really what enabled our ancestors to go long periods without eating. However, doing this makes the body store what you eat as fat in preparation for the next food deprivation. So this intermittent dieting idea, regardless of what diet you use, kind of helps you bypass this famine reaction. Wouldn't you think, Kim?
Right, definitely. I do. And, you know, the ketosis diet that you were just talking about, it is so prevalent right now. I hear so many people that are on that bandwagon. And, you know, for me, and when people talk about, you know, the food thing, I just think that all around, like, it's so simple to you and I because,
you
know, you pick the right healthy foods that you incorporate in your diet every single day. And it's not like you can never have a piece of cake or you can never, you know, cheat. But it's that when your baseline is so healthy and, you know that you're putting the right things in your body, then when you're having a piece of cake or something, it's not going to, you know, throw your whole system out of whack. And because you've been on the right track and you have a good, healthy baseline.
Yeah, you know, and we've said before, the word diet begins with the word die. To some people, it feels like it's in the same category. And people have a difficult time, as you said, staying motivated. And they might do better by, you know, this two-week break. And, I see some benefits of it because if you're same old, same old, same old, you get into this routine, your body gets used to it, and you don't mix things up. So it's kind of like, you know, bodybuilders. They tell you now, don't do the same body part Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because your body gets used to it. Mix it up. Mix up the routine,
right.
And you'll achieve better, then you won't plateau.
Exactly. That's exactly what they talked about, too, in this article, saying that when you get to, like, kind of that weight loss plateau, it sort of helps with that because it sort of, like, gives your body a break and it kind of, you know, gives your metabolism a chance to sort of, you know, reboot. And then, you know, when people say, oh, I can't lose the last 5 pounds or something, this could, you know, it could potentially really help for that. So, you know, maybe giving your body a chance to reset if, you know, you are following a strict diet could definitely be a good thing then.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it would be easier to stay on a diet if you have a little break there and then you go back to it. Then, you know, let's face it, no one's going to stick to a diet from beginning to end. I think the statistic is 90 days and you're done. And I think it's because it's a punishment. They treat it like a punishment. They don't look forward to it. So I think if you had 2 weeks of really strict and maybe a week or two where you don't, or a day or two, or just, you know, I know when Bill Phillips did the book Body for Life, it came out, he received a lot of criticism because he said, do one cheat day a week. And experts said, that's like telling a smoker it's okay to smoke on Sundays, or an alcoholic that Friday nights are okay to get drunk. But it's not the same when it comes to food and the body's metabolism. Sometimes you need to kind of reboot it.
Exactly. That makes perfect sense. And I think it, you know, it allows you to stay on your path longer. Like you were saying, it's so hard to, you know, when you're telling yourself, oh, I'm going to deprive myself of the things that I really want. You know, if you have something to sort of push through and say, wow, you know, on this day, I'm going to give myself a couple days break. It sort of like helps you, you know, finish the last few days to get through so you can, you know, just relax, enjoy your food a little bit more and reset your body. It's perfect.
Yeah. And of course, Kim and I don't advocate eating junk for those 2 weeks if you're going to try this. You know, eat sensibly during
exactly.
your cheat days. Hey, they said they agree. Cupcakes for 2 weeks. And
right.
You still got to eat right. But, you know, that study was interesting. It does show that by kind of doing peaks and valleys with that diet, you tend to, in the long term, and let's face it, America's not, we're not having a long term results with any diet. I don't care what it is. If you look in a year later, they've gained the weight back and then some. And studies show 95% gain it back and then some within a year. Of all diets.
Oh, God.
Of all diets.
And you can go in the bookstore and look at the, you know, hundreds of different diet books there are out there, you know, pushing this diet and this diet and this diet. And it's, you know, it's like, my God, I mean, it must confuse the heck out of people trying to figure out what to eat and who to follow.
Yeah, exactly. So some good food for thought. You know, whatever you do, I think maybe you'll stick with it more. I don't know. Who knows? It's an interesting concept there. Our next study comes from the Journal of Psychophysiology. Writing down what's stressing you out can help to alleviate your problems, according to a new study from Michigan State University. People worry a lot, which leads to stress, anxiety, and many related diseases. The majority of these worries are based on feelings of future events that might never happen. 75% of people fall into the chronic worry category. By getting your worries out of your head and on paper, your cognitive resources are freed up, allowing you to become more efficient. Plus, it actually helps with your immune system. Kim, what's your thoughts on journaling to reduce worries and stress?
Oh, I think it's such a great thing. You know, there's actually an entire, you know, field of study that happened in the mid-80s, and I'm going to say this word slowly because it's long. Psychoneuroimmunology. And it's actually the field of study that shows how expressive writing can improve your immune system. And they talk about, you know, how your brain is basically, you know, holding on to all these thoughts of worry and fear and stress and anxiety. And once you get it out and release it, it's just like getting it, you know, at least most of it out of your body so that you're kind of freeing up your mind or, you know, your body to, like, deal with whatever situation's making you stressed out. And I think from, you know, I definitely am a worrywart, so I'm trying to.
Yeah, it's kind of like minimizing, you know, a window on your computer screen. You minimize it. It's still there, but you don't see it, but you know it's there. You don't have to. And that's why I think writing down does the same thing. And people are saying, oh, God, I got to become a novelist. No, the research shows that just 5 minutes of expressive writing per day can help relieve unnecessary stress, can help you sleep better and improve your immune system. And, you know, I resonate with this as well, Kim. I'm the same way. We're two peas in a pod when we come to this. I write down my worries and my to-dos, and it helps. I use the technique all the time. If not, my brain repeats them over and over because it doesn't want me to forget. And when I write them down or type them into my phone, my brain says, relax, David, I've got this.
Right.
And that's good. So do you
exactly.
write down? Or do you do sticky notes, write down, or do you use your phone?
I do. You know what? I'm a big to-do list person. And I feel like if I feel overwhelmed and I need to sort of, you know, compartmentalize and just say, all right, chill out. It doesn't have to be so stressful. Let's just figure out, you know, what I need to do today or, you know, this get done sometime this week. It definitely does help. And I think, you know, the idea of getting out, and that's why I think, you know, women, we're such big communicators and we love, you know, hanging out with our girlfriends and just getting it out, getting stress out. And I find that that helps me too. So I can imagine like starting to journal, and I'm going to do this, you know, try the 5 minutes every day of sort of getting out my stress and anxiety, because I think it's such a great thing. And, you know, how they say that it can help your immune system. Imagine over time what an enormous amount of stress and anxiety can do to your body. So it starts out just, you know, you're worried and stressed out, but it can manifest in so many other ways and take on a role that could, you know, really cause you know, your body some harm because it just takes its toll over time.
Yeah, my biggest bumblebee thought storm happens when I lay down at night and I try to sleep. Is that something you suffer from, Kim?
Oh, God, every night.
I bet that describes a lot of our listeners. Let me share a similar technique that helps me, and it's similar to what this story is about. But in your mind's eye, you don't actually need a sheet of paper. In your mind's eye, you picture yourself writing down on a piece of paper all the things you're worried about, things you need to accomplish, issues you're struggling with. Then you picture yourself folding that list and putting it in your back pocket. It's amazing what this is going to accomplish. It literally gives your mind permission not to hold on to the things that's bothering you, and it allows you to sleep. And guess what? When you wake up the next morning, your worries are right there in your back pocket where you left them.
That is awesome. I love it.
Or you could do side of the desk. I don't wear pants. I don't have pockets. Folks, put it on the side of the desk, wherever it is in your mind. It's your mind's eye. You're actually picturing this. Like self-hypnosis. I'm telling you, Kim, it works. It's like then my brain's, I'm grabbing anything else worrying about. I go, ooh, nothing's left. It's all, and I fall right asleep.
That is really good. And you know what's funny? I just got this, got a book, and it talks about, you know, you can, whatever you believe in, whether you, you know, sit for a few minutes, it's kind of like a little quick, you know, meditation. And whether you want to tell God your problems, the universe, the angels, like, the book was very, you know, non-specific, like whatever it is, you know, you sort of believe in, you make your list and say, you know, I'm stressed out about this and I, you know, I'm turning it over to you because it's too much for me to handle and I'm just going to release it. And that's another thing like that I've been doing lately. And it has been so helpful also, because then I feel like, oh, well, you know, it's off my chest. I just like told somebody, and I try to do that before I go to bed too. And that's been a really good idea.
That's awesome. Great. And, you know, you bring up a good point about females. I just need to get it out. Females, you like to talk to other girlfriends because they talk. And it's not necessarily they want to be, they want to have intervention and be talked to. They just want to get it out. It's not like they're asking their girlfriends for their opinion. Otherwise, they wouldn't talk for 20 minutes without getting a word in. They just need to get
exactly
it out.
Right.
Right? So getting it out on
exactly.
paper would be the same thing. That's great. Let's go
and
to our next.
Yeah, I know exactly. And I think, you know, that really makes a difference between men and women, because men, like, they're so awesome, though. They want to solve everything, and we just want to get it out and then be done with it. We don't need
right.
anything to be solved.
We want to fester it inside and say, all right, I can find a solution for this. So either way, but either way, writing it down would help because you're
exactly.
getting it out of your brain. So men and women, that's great. Let's go to our next headline. It's on Kim and I's favorite topic, artificial sweeteners. We have covered all the many health benefits of this fake sugar substitutes and all of the green, the blue, the pink, the yellow packets. And so we thought, but this new study is a shocker. According to the European Association Association for the Study of Diabetes, artificial sweeteners predispose users to developing type 2 diabetes. Can people choose artificial sweeteners in place of real sugar to help them combat their weight and reduce the risk of developing diabetes? Now this?
Oh, this is, you know, you and I could have just an entire show on artificial sweeteners, but, you know, I like when you get these studies that come out and it brings more to light so that people can understand that there is so many bad things happening with artificial sweeteners, and there's artificial sweeteners in everything. And, you know, working in a restaurant for a long time, and you see that people will take the diet soda because they don't want to, you know, don't want to have too many calories, and then they'll get, you know, the biggest burger that they possibly can, and this is sort of their thinking. It's crazy. There's so many harmful things that artificial sweeteners can do to your body.
Yeah, and Kim, I really think that the people forget what the word artificial means. So in the words of Elaine from Seinfeld, let me share with everybody what it means. Fake, fake, fake.
Exactly.
It's fake.
Exactly.
It's chemicals. And what it is the goal of these scientists that create these things is to use chemicals to trick the brain into believing it's eating real sugar. However, the brain's a lot smarter than that, folks. And when you eat fake sugar, guess what? It sends signals to the body wanting the real thing, and that triggers a hunger response, making you eat more carbs, sugars, which does what? Increases your weight. It's like a vicious cycle that makes no sense.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. And they, you know, studies have been coming out more too that does show that it increases your appetite and makes you want to eat more, which is people are thinking that it's going to be doing the opposite, but it really is so sweet and it's completely ruining your taste buds. It tricks everything. And let's talk about the fact that there's, GMOs too, because there's corn and soy and sugar beets that they're using as well. But, you know, it's such a good point that people are creating this in a lab, and there's nothing, you know, when we try to recommend things for people to eat, we're talking about natural foods, and there's nothing natural about eating something that was, you know, created in a lab.
Exactly. And I know we covered it once or twice on a previous segment, the 8-year study from the University of Texas. And what it showed is that diet soft drinks containing artificial sweeteners increase the risk of obesity by 41% for every can or bottle that's consumed. So, Kim, that's another crazy thing. Americans are using these artificial sweeteners to help them lose weight, and it's scientifically proven that it makes them fatter. So to me, that's like brushing your teeth with toothpaste containing Aunt Jemima syrup. What's the purpose?
Right, exactly. And, you know, there is no getting around, you know, the amount of things you go into the grocery store and it's in yogurt and cookies and pudding and, I mean, just you name it, it's in everything. So I think people really need to get more educated about what an artificial sweetener is. And just, you know, I don't think the world of sugar, but I think in its, you know, you're getting something like sugar in the raw. There is really, you know, very little, or, you know, whether it's any of the sugar alternatives, agave or whatever, honey, whatever you personally like. I mean, just getting something as unfiltered and unprocessed as possible. And just, you know, trying to enjoy sweet things like fruit that it's, you know, sweet in its natural state and not relying so much on sugars to make things taste better.
Exactly. You know, as health expert for Lifetime Television's morning show, I had the privilege of interviewing Kim, which is actually how we first met. So that brought us here today. But I also conducted a 2-part feature on artificial sweeteners and how they're made. And I held up, Kim, bottles of nail polish remover, antifreeze, bleach, paint thinner, and gasoline, and shared how these toxic chemicals used in these products are also used to manufacture artificial sweeteners. Now, that convinced so many people to get off of them. I think visuals like that help. So, folks, would you drink these things I just mentioned? Get off of it. It's how they're made. You can Google this. It's no secret how this stuff's made. It's not natural. It's fake, fake, fake.
And it just does, you know, it just wreaks havoc on your body. And you know, your body's just trying to understand how to process it. It throws it off in so many different ways. You know, and you think about, like, the history. When I was researching the history of this, I mean, a lot of these artificial sweeteners really should have never been approved in the first place. And there's just so much, you know, surrounding the approval of artificial sweeteners that shouldn't have happened, or really it's just a joke and it could make you laugh. But it's a shame they're on the market, and we just need to try to get people to avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you want to see that video, it's on drdavidfriedman.com. And check out what I look like when I first met Kim. Not a single gray hair. I've aged, and Kim's staying the same. How do you do it, Kim?
Oh, I wish. It's called hair dye.
That's great. Now, obviously, sugar isn't the choice. There's some healthy, natural alternatives that we've covered. What's your, like, one-two go-to sugar substitute? Do you have one that's your favorite, Kim?
You know, I'm really trying to, I do have a sugar problem, and I've really tried hard to kind of, you know, combat that. And I like, agave nectar was something I sort of transitioned to, you know, trying to get it as, you know, most natural. And then I kind of was like, well, you know, let's just kind of go on to something else. So, you know, then I kind of went to sugar in the raw, but I'm just doing as little as possible, but I do use it when I bake. And I'm just trying to get the, it's not the sugar in the raw, but it's just the, but my brain is just shutting down. But it's basically like a sugar in the raw so that you can bake with it and it tastes exactly the same. Right. But it's just as, you know, it's not
and it's
as
so
processed
much more,
as.
It's not as processed. Right, that's the key. Like you said, it's not as processed. It's not that white bleached sugar.
Exactly.
And, yeah. For me, I like xylitol and stevia. However, a lot of stevia products out there, Kim, have you noticed they're bitter? They have a bitter aftertaste, yet they say that they're sweeter than sugar, but they're bitter.
Right, exactly.
Have you noticed
that?
And
I've tried it a little bit, too. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but, you know, my friend uses it when she makes a lot of different, she juices, and she'll add a little bit to it. And sometimes when it's just a teeny bit, and there's maybe, you know, some other fruits in the juice, it really tastes good. So it is a decent alternative as well.
Yeah. Now, what I recommend is look for stevia powder, which has no aftertaste. It's not as processed. And the brands I like, it's called Stevia Select Pure. Stevia powder from Amazon.com. And if you have a Trader Joe's in your town, try Pure Organic Stevia. Neither of these two options have that bitter aftertaste, just sweetness, clean sweetness. And it's like confectioner sugar, Kim. It's just, it's not like that bitter that we always hear sweeter than sugar. This stuff is. But it's
good. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's not that hard stuff. And it's like my mom puts it in her coffee and I had a sip of it. It's like, oh, it's the regular stuff. Get this powder. It's great. Hey, we might have time for a question submitted by a listener. This one from Richard Bailey in Memphis. Dear Dr. Friedman and Kim, I've been listening to some of your podcasts and came across one where you talked about how mouthwash containing alcohol can dry out the mouth, making you more susceptible to bacteria buildup. I have gingivitis and tried using liquid chlorophyll, which you suggested, but I don't like the taste. Any other options? Kim, Richard doesn't like the taste of chlorophyll, our top pick for natural mouthwash, which we mentioned back, I don't even remember the episode, but he found it. Do you have any other suggestions?
You know, my son is, he gets really nauseous when he uses regular, like, toothpaste or mouthwash. It just doesn't work for him. He gets sick, and so we've tried, which is good because I don't like that stuff, but if we've gone on vacation and they have it in the hotel, he's tried it, and it always makes him sick. So we started just brushing with baking soda, making a little paste. And that, honestly, like, because there's so many things, which is another topic, too, that's in the mouthwash and the toothpaste that shouldn't be there. So we just stick to using a baking soda paste, eliminates that, and it keeps our gums and our teeth nice and clean and healthy.
Awesome. And you can also use pure cranberry juice. It has antibacterial properties, but just make sure it's no sugar added. That stuff's great for bladder infection, kidney. It actually has antibacterial properties. Also, I like a few drops of tea tree oil, Kim. It fights bad breath and gingivitis. And for gingivitis, here's a neat tip. That's what Richard mentioned. Put a little tea tree oil on your dental floss to kill the bacteria between the teeth. That's where you want to get, not mouthwash. Right? Doesn't
That's
it make sense
to
get
between idea.
Between the teeth? That's where that stuff smells. If you ever flossed and smelled your floss, that's where the junk builds up. So put a little tea tree oil, and then that'll fix it. Fantastic. Thanks for the question, Richard. If any of you have any health-related questions that you want Kim and I to answer, you can send those to us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And that concludes another edition of Chew on This. We are your dynamic duo of due diligence here to help you digest all the latest headlines. Make sure you check out our our new website, toyourgoodhealthradio.com, and you'll find a Chew on This podcast library. Kim and I have covered some great topics over the years, and now you have access to them all in one easy-to-find podcast library. Some of what we've shared is going to inform you, some will anger you, and quite a few of them will make you laugh out loud. toyourgoodhealthradio.com, click on the Chew on This graphic right on the homepage, and share these segments with friends and family. This knowledge is too good to keep it to yourselves. Share, 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 as the words of Elaine. Well, I altered her words, but that's my new. You can also subscribe to future Chew on This podcast at iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.